Thanks for joining us at Faith. We hope the message you're about to hear encourages your day and draws you closer to Jesus. If you'd like to join us for service or find out more about the church, visit faith.church. That's faith.church.
Well, good morning, everybody. He is risen. Come on. This is what the Christian faith is all about. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about the reality that God sent his son to die for us. So this morning, I want us to open our hearts for the goodness of God, that all of us would leave here today with a fresh understanding of what Christ has done for us. The message this morning is very simple. It's very straightforward. I want to look at the three crosses that we find in Matthew 27, a very well-known story, well-known account of the crucifixion of Christ. And most of the time, the focus is on Christ in the center. And in all reality, it should be. He deserves all worship, all attention, all glory, all honor. But I want to take a moment this morning and look at those who were crucified on either side of him. I don't know if you've ever thought of this. I don't know if you've ever wondered, what does this have to do with me? But we come to a passage in Matthew 27 where this is the story of these three men who were being crucified on the hill of Calvary. And we don't know why. Why all three at once? We don't. Maybe the soldiers didn't want to spend a long time, so they decided to group them all together so they could watch them together. But they were there, three men on this hill called Calvary or Golgotha, and they were crucified. They were right next to each other, probably about 10 feet away from one another. They were three men hanging on a cross who had been shamed. They had been mocked. They had been beaten. They had been ridiculed. They had been stripped naked, and they were put on display high in the air on a main roadway so that everyone who would go by could see them and could shame them or could feel the shame, could also feel the fear of what you shouldn't do to cross the Roman government. And so the crowds were gathering, and the crowds gathered underneath this cross, and they were spectating as all three men were gasping for air. And much of the horrific nature of the crucifixion is at some point you had to push up on the spike in your feet in order to open up enough air in the diaphragm to breathe in air. And so each man would gasp for air. And so of these three crosses, we know there is one in the middle who is Christ, but I want to look to the one on the other side of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought that each man on each side of Jesus, they were criminals. Both of them had a similar journey. Both of them never probably imagined they would end up in this place. And when you look at the lives of criminals, you always see there's some common denominators in the journey of some of these people. And the common denominators connect them, and they have much of the same life stories, because the reality is most criminals don't wake up one day and think, you know what, I'm going to do something that's going to put me on a cross. I'm going to do something today that's going to put me on death row. It's a progression to that place. It's a history of decisions and choices. Also, it's a history of many times pain and disappointment and struggle, of loss that has changed them from the inside out, till they come to a place where they end up in the place that we see them today. Maybe some of their the pain in their life that brought them to this place of decision could have been an abandonment of a father or a mother, or a life of abuse or an incident that hardened their heart. And it was the hard knocks of life that just brought them to this place of pain, bad choices, bad decisions. And so they began to make decisions from that pain, from that disappointment. But both these men on each side of Jesus ended up in the same place, both absolutely guilty because of the path that they chose. But both of their endings of their life are totally different than the other. The first man and the first cross I want us to look at is the cross of rebellion. This man who was on this cross was 10 feet away from the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, who was bleeding, who was dying, who was groaning. And this man could hear Jesus talking, and this man could hear in the midst of Jesus' pain and suffering for all of mankind. As they crucified him, as they mocked Jesus, as they whipped him, this man that's on this cross of rebellion heard Jesus say these things, like Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And this man who was on this cross of rebellion, this man's heart was so calloused, it was so hardened by whatever life had done to him, by whatever decisions he had made, by the choice that he made. Whatever had happened to this man had marked him physically, emotionally, and mentally. Maybe it was the pain of the mistakes he had himself made, and he felt on his own behalf responsible as he was. But we find his response so bitter, so hardened, and so angry that the Bible says that as he hung there, as Jesus was praying for those who were crucifying him and mocked him, this man joined with them. In Luke 23:39, it says, "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. 'Aren't you the Messiah? You should save yourself and us.'" So while this thief, I want you to see this morning, while this thief is gasping for air, his last breath, as he's riddled with pain, he uses his last few breaths of his life to curse Jesus next to him. This rebellious thief turns to the Savior of the world and says, "Prove that you're the Messiah. Come down from the cross if you're the Messiah." Now, what he didn't realize is Jesus coming down from the cross would not prove that he was the Messiah. It was the fact that Jesus chose to stay on the cross that proved he was the Messiah. But whatever you realize, or whether you realize this or not, every one of us in this room has a cross to carry. Every one of us. I wish I could tell you this morning that life, if you follow Jesus, you don't have a cross to carry. But the reality is, whether you follow Jesus or not, every single one of us has a cross to carry. And I wish I could tell you that life was just like a field in Easter, that life was just like our big extravaganza we had for our kids yesterday, where there's just Easter eggs everywhere, and wherever you turn, there's surprises and goodness, and it's all like running through a field, and you'll never face any trouble. But any person who's lived for more than 2 minutes knows that's not true. There's a reality for us as people on this earth that we go through difficulties. Some of you have been through very difficult things. This is the cross that we carry. It could be a broken marriage, it could be financial devastation, it could be the loss of a child, it could be a loss of a spouse, it could be a sickness, unfair things that have happened to you. Maybe you've been hurt by family, you've been hurt or betrayed by friends. Maybe you've been hurt by a church. Maybe you've been hurt by an individual who said they were a Christian, but they hurt you. Maybe you were hurt and devastated by someone you trusted. And these things that have been done to you have caused you pain. And, you know, we never set out to be bitter. We never wanted emotions of resentment. Never intended our pain to poison our hearts and to make us numb to the fact that God is right in front of us. But possibly we've allowed the pain that we've experienced to place us in a prison that we couldn't even acknowledge that our answer and our Savior was right next to us. And these feelings of resentment towards God just didn't happen with this thief, just didn't happen in the past. They're still happening today in our lives. My friends, no matter where you are today, don't let something that has happened to you to keep you from Jesus. Don't let something that has devastated you or maybe marked your life or a loss or a disappointment or a rejection keep you from the Jesus that's right in front of you. I've seen people so many times go through things and pain and difficulties, and instead of it softening their heart, it caused them to become bitter. Instead of causing them to draw near to the answer of their pain, it caused them to push away from God. And when this happens, there becomes a rebellion in our spirits. There comes a rebellion in our hearts. It could be even unmet expectations that we think, God, you should have made that happen, but it didn't. And so we just put a resistance and we'll say, I'll go to church and I'll do all of that, but God, I'm not going to get any closer to you, or I'll never go to church. I'll never give God a chance, because if he actually loved me, he wouldn't have given me this cross. Whatever the case, many times it can bring us to the same cross that this man is on, the cross of rebellion. Now, what's interesting, you have the same scenario, these two thieves on each side of Jesus. There's another man on the other side. And this man was going through the same thing, dealing with the same loss, the same pain, and the same cross. Let's call this man on the cross that he's on, let's call that the cross of repentance. Both of these thieves had suffered the same. It's important to realize that they have gone through the exact same thing, but their response to Jesus in the midst of what they're going through is totally different, and the outcome is totally different when they come to a face-to-face encounter with God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And you look at this scenario and you go, how does that happen? And I would say it this way. It's the same sun that we have in the sky that softens the butter also hardens the clay. It's the condition and the position of your heart when you come face to face with God. The same gospel of Jesus Christ that gives hope and saves one person also condemns and hardens another. And the same gospel that's a fragrance of life to one person, to the person who receives it, it's a fragrance of life. But to the person who rejects the gospel, it's a fragrance of death. The same message of Jesus that causes some to fall to their knees and accept the love of Christ and accept his forgiveness and cleansing and give us a new start is the same gospel that calls one to stiffen their neck and to curse at God and to shake their fist at him. It's the same. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't believe that each person has a preconditioned heart. It is the act of the will of what you choose to do when you are confronted face to face with Jesus. These two thieves are going through the same thing within 20 feet of one another. One man listens to Jesus, sees his nails and his hands, and watched him. And he hasn't cursed Jesus. And the one man on the cross of repentance, as he heard the other man on the cross of rebellion, this is what he says to him in Luke 23. He says, the other criminal rebuked this man on the cross of rebellion. He says, don't you fear God? Since you were under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, speaking of Jesus, has done nothing wrong. This man, same path, totally different response. This man on the cross of repentance calls out to Jesus. The first man used his last few breaths to curse Jesus. This man on the cross of repentance uses his last few breaths to call out for Jesus to save him. And he asks him for mercy. And he says in verse 42 of Luke 23, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man on the cross of repentance, he knew Jesus was no ordinary man. He knew that he was the Messiah. In the midst of his bad decision, there's no getting around this thief who's repenting that he had made bad decisions. There's no getting around that he had been disappointed with the outcome of his life. There's no getting around that he never would have imagined he'd be in this predicament. There's no getting around that. But instead of allowing the realities of life and his mistakes and his choices to say, God, if you would have loved me, you never would have put me here. He calls out for mercy to the only one who could save him. And in his plea of mercy, oh, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. Jesus uses his last few breaths to minister to the one. And he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Every one of us in this room has a cross of life. I've had to walk through things that I wish God could just fix and deliver me and take care of it. But he didn't. And I had to choose. Do I draw near to God? Or do I harden my heart? Do I ask God to meet my needs and calm my heart and minister to my brokenness? Or do I try to find another way to meet my own needs? this Easter, don't let the cross of your life, of your mistakes, of the things you've gone through, that some were your fault, some were not. Don't let the things that disappointed you, that some were because of your choices, some were not. Don't let the cross of your life push you away. Let the cross of the realities of what life is about, let that lead you to repentance. Let that lead you to a place of surrender all of your life to Jesus. And the reason why we can find hope in our messes, in our predicaments, in the midst of our cross, is because there was another man who was in the middle. He was between the two thieves. And he was on the cross of redemption. And his name was Jesus. And he was the Son of God, sent to pay the price you couldn't pay, and to give you mercy and grace, and to forgive you, and to cleanse you, and to comfort you from the cross of your life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." You could even put your own name right there. "For God so loved your name, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself," speaking of Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness." Now, listen to this quote. He's quoting from Isaiah 53. He says, "By his wounds you have been healed." From what? The cross and the pain of life. You've been healed. It doesn't say you can be healed. It says you have been healed. What that means is this: Jesus has already purchased your healing, your comfort. He's already purchased the mending of your broken heart. He's already purchased the restoring of what you think is lost potential, the restoring of what you thought was a mistake that you'll never recover from, and the restoring of your soul that was hurting and broken. You've been healed. But we, like the thieves on the cross, have a decision. Do we accept our healing, or do we reject it? Do we stiffen and say, "No, I don't think so. If you loved me, this wouldn't have happened." Or do we soften and say, "Lord, I don't understand, but would you have mercy on me?" What I love about this Easter morning is that it is the work of Jesus Christ to give you victory, a total, absolute work of grace and self-sacrifice for you. That God, out of 2 Corinthians 5:21, made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 John 4:10, this is love. Now listen, I want you to look at Jesus for a moment. Look at him in the center cross. And I want you to, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. Resurrection Sunday is about, this is love. That the God of the universe would send his Son in our place to crush the head of Satan that had our lives in his grip and he would crush his head. And as he came out of the tomb, he would purchase mankind back from the devil to himself so that all those who are on the cross of repentance can say, have mercy, and God will give you mercy. For us today on Easter morning, Jesus has already carried your sin to the cross. He's already paid the price for it. He's already suffered and died for you in your place. And he's also come out of the grave so that all those who put their faith in him would also come out of the grave, would not taste death, that one day he'll give us a brand new body just like he had when he came out of the grave. This is what Resurrection Sunday is all about. It is our hope. It is our strength. It is our answer to the cross of life that we bear, that we carry. The passage of the Apostle Paul where he's asking Jesus, he's talking to Jesus about something that he struggles with in his body. He calls it a thorn in his side. How many here have got a thorn in your side? How many of you got something in your life? You're like, Jesus, will you take this thing away from me? And I'm not talking about a husband or wife either. All of us have got that thorn. Maybe you got two or three this morning. I don't know. But you go, God, what's the deal? Will you take this thorn away? And you know what God told Paul? He said, listen, Paul, I'm not going to. But I want you to know something. My grace is sufficient. And that in your suffering, my power will be made perfect through your life. Listen, this is the gospel. And that cross that you bear, God has all ability to move in your circumstances. And I've seen him do it in my life and thousands of other people's lives. But what I know today, it's not about whether God is good or not, whether we have the thorn or we don't have the thorn. What we look today is that Jesus himself bore all things that were plaguing our lives so that we can find peace and hope and mercy and forgiveness, that regardless of what our cross looks like, we today can experience the resurrection power of Jesus in our bodies, and we can have a sense of victory and purpose and life. That is because of God's raising his own son from the dead. That's what Easter is about. And Jesus here on the middle cross redeems us from our sin, from the curse of sin. He redeems our family. He redeems our children. He redeems our past. He redeems our shame, our guilt, and gives us a future. The cross of redemption of Christ redeems the things in our life that could make us bitter, but because of Christ, it makes us better. The cross of redemption can take away what the enemy meant for evil, and he can use it for our good. That's how good the cross of redemption is. The middle cross is the place that we lay down everything in our lives. The middle cross is what we use the last breaths of our finite lives to ask for mercy. And we, on Resurrection Sunday, can experience the power of the middle cross, who we know 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And today, he is alive and well and kicking, and the purposes of his kingdom are going throughout the earth. And I believe that the knowledge of the glory of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to continue to increase on the earth like water covers the sea. That's what he's doing today. But it's at the cross of redemption that we leave our sin, that we leave our pain, that we leave our rebellion, that we leave our disappointments, that we leave our wounded hearts. that we leave our brokenness. It's there, like the thief on the cross of repentance, that we say, Lord, have mercy on me. And here we have the man on the cross of rebellion used his last breaths to curse him. Friends, this morning, let me encourage you. Use your breath to ask him for mercy. Use your breath to ask him to mend your heart, to heal you, to forgive you, to cleanse you, to restore to you what's been lost through the cross that you've been carrying. Because the resurrection of Christ reveals to us that we can have freedom, we can have healing, we can now have purpose to live our lives, a life that's worth living. Matthew 28, as the women came to the tomb Easter morning, they arrive and there's an angel there. And they say, do not be afraid. Now, I'm sure there was a couple reasons why don't be afraid. One, because there's an angel right there. Two, they're coming mourning, fearful of what's going to be because Jesus is dead and in the tomb. But he says, don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. I love this. Listen to this. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Now look, in order for you to see the place where Jesus used to lay, in order for you to experience the understanding of what Christ has done, when you go to the tomb, and I've been there to the place where it many people believe was the place or the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, when you go, in order to see what Jesus, where he laid, you got to get down and you got to pop your head in and you got to look. In order to experience the resurrection power, you got to get down. You got to humble yourself. Like the thief on the cross of repentance, you got to humble yourself. You got to say, Lord, have mercy on me. You need to bow the knee and say, Lord, I don't understand, but what I do know is I put my trust and my faith in your resurrection power. And after the women bowed and they saw, the angel then tells them, you need to go and tell the disciples what you've seen. This is the power of Christ's resurrection in our life. This reality that as we bow our knees, as we come to the cross of Jesus this morning, as we bow down to experience his redemption, that we would surrender all. Listen, today's the day. Whether you've been walking with Jesus for 20 years or you've never accepted him, if you've been walking with the Lord for a while and you've got things that you've hurts and pains and loss that you've kept distancing yourself from fully surrender. Today's today. Run back to the center cross and lay it down. Get your stuff away from the cross of rebellion and hardened of heart and just put it at the cross of redemption. Today's today. Maybe if you've never accepted Christ today, listen, we are not promised tomorrow, but what you are promised is a Savior today. You're promised a Savior today. Don't let this moment pass. Don't let this moment slip away. Soften your heart. Bow the knee and gaze at the cross of redemption. This is what resurrection morning is all about. For God so loved you, he sent his son. For God so cared for you, he took upon himself the infirmities of you. That by his stripes, you've been healed. Do you need healing this morning from a broken heart? Do you need healing this morning from a disappointment? Do you need healing this morning? from things that were done against you? Maybe you've been sinned against. And you're like, yeah, but good for them who sinned against me. Well, what about me? That's what the cross is. The cross not only forgives you as a sinner, it also heals you who've been sinned against. This is what Resurrection Sunday is all about. And this is the glory of God that He wants radiating from your life, because He loves you, because He cares for you. If we can, let's bow our heads this morning. If you're here this morning, and you have never given your life to Jesus. And when I said, listen, your next breath is not promised to you, a light bulb went off in you, in your heart and your spirit, and you realized, that's right. Eternity after my last breath, I don't know. I'm lost. If you're here and the congregation's not looking around and you want to give your life to Jesus today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now and receive what Jesus has for you. Raise your hand, hold it up high. This is your chance. Don't let this go by. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else, just hold your hand. If you can, just wave it at me. Let me catch your eye if you don't mind me seeing it. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you up in the stadium. Thank you. Three people up there. God bless you. Anyone else? Just wave it at me. Let me see it. God bless you. Couple, I love you. God bless you. God bless you. Family up there. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Man, I'm so happy for you. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray with you. This is the greatest prayer you will ever pray in your life. And so let's all join together with those who are giving their lives to Jesus today. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I repent of my sin. I accept your forgiveness. I bow the knee at your cross. I believe you died for me. And I believe you rose from the dead. And from this moment forward, with your help, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. I belong to you, and I am saved right now because you said I am. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give God a hand today. Amen. So happy for you. If you gave your life to Jesus today, I am so thrilled. Every person who's following Jesus has done what you just did. That's how we put our faith in. Then we begin to belong to what's called the body of Christ and a church that we go on a journey knowing God together. If you gave your life to Jesus today, we want to help you on that journey. You can scan the QR code. You can also go to the Connect Center, or you can chat with one of our pastors that are around. We would love to help you on that next journey as you take that next step. Now I want to take a moment and pray for those who are hurting and broken this morning. If we can, one more time, let's just bow our heads. I want to give us a moment. I don't want this moment to pass by. There are many of you here who you have suffered loss in the last year or two, and it has marked your life. When you look at the joy you used to have, the peace you used to have, when you look at the activity you used to have, there's something about this event. Could have been something done against you. Could have been the loss of a loved one. Could have been a mistake. Could have been a failure. You just haven't been the same. Maybe it was many years ago. If you want to put that burden at the cross this morning, congregation's not looking around, I want you just to raise your hand right now, just as a step of faith. Amen. I'm raising my hand. I've got some things I need to put at the center cross. Amen. 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 Many of us. You can put your hands down. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we bring whatever that is that marked us. We don't want to distance ourselves from you because of this disappointment. We want to run to you today. And so, Lord, for those who are hurting, who are heartbroken, who have been suffering, who are questions and burdens and all kinds of stuff, anxieties and depression, that, God, there have been things that have just marked us and we're just not the same. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we come to the foot of the cross and we lay it at your feet. And Lord, yes, we've said, God, we can't handle this, but Lord, we haven't known what to do with it. And today we bring it to you and we lay it down. And we want to take upon ourselves the purpose you have for us. God, today, restore the purpose in our lives that have been, it's been distracted by this sorrow and this pain. From this moment forward, Lord, I ask you that you would heal us and restore us, restore the joy of your salvation, restore, God, today, the heart of gladness that we have seemed to have lost. That you would take our ashes, and as you promised, you'd give us beauty. You'd take our mourning, and by the cross of Jesus Christ, you'd give us joy. And so, Lord, just right where you are today, just say, Lord, I receive that today. Just tell him, just I receive that today. And so, Lord, today we celebrate that today is a day of hope, a day of life, a day of healing because of what Jesus has done. In Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen, 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 amen. If you can, let's all stand to our feet today. What a great Resurrection Sunday it has been. I love you. So glad to see all of your faces. So glad that we can gather together. And if you would allow me to, I'd love to pray a blessing over your life as we go today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would bless these people. Bless their goings. Bless when they travel somewhere. Bless their homes in Jesus' name. Bless their marriages. Bless their children in Jesus' name. Bless them at work and prosper them. Elevate them to places of influence to bring you glory and honor. God, may they be people of the light that shine brightly from a city on a hill. And may they go and be the salt of the world. So, Lord, today we receive all that you have for us. And we celebrate your resurrection power in our lives. In Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen. Happy Easter, everybody. We love you. We love you. We'll see you back next Sunday at 10 a.m. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to watch a service live online, you can join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. at live.faith.church. For everything else, visit faith.church. That's faith.church.